Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Hello and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. This is show 111 for the 29th of August 2010. Well, thanks for downloading and listening to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about some bargains I got from the car boot this morning and the kit I took on our Isle of Wight adventure over the last week. So, as you know, I record this podcast every Sunday evening, or Saturday, or sometimes a bit late on Monday, but mainly on a Sunday. And every Sunday, one of the things we do, me, Suzanne and Oles, is we go down to the local car boot sales, and we look for bargains. And obviously one of the things that I look for tend to be camera related. And I got a couple of really nice, I got a couple of bargains this morning. One of them was a Polaroid 600 one step, so it's a Polaroid camera that uses 600 film, very simple plastic lens, little slider to change the focusing distance, which puts a little plastic close-up lens in front of the main lens, and yeah, takes 600 film, no film in it. It came in a box though, £1, but the reason why I got it, because I've already got a 600 series Polaroid, I've got the Spice Cam. Well, this one's a little bit cooler because it's all black, but it does have a cartridge inside it, and an empty film cartridge, and that cartridge, the battery still works in it. And what I'm going to do tonight is I'm just have a quick play around, and I want to see if I can take the film out of my SX70 Land camera I've got, Polaroid, that's got some film in it, but the battery has run out. So I'm going to get my dark bag out and see if I can somehow get the film out and put it into this other cartridge, because obviously the battery still works, so maybe we can get something out of it. I doubt, I mean, that SX70 film must have expired years and years and years ago, but it's sort of inspired by my experience with the Fujifilm Instax camera I got a couple of weeks ago from the car boot, where the film was 5 years out of date and still produced great shots. Hopefully maybe the Polaroid one will. The only problem I've got though, well, one of the problems I've got, is that I think SX70 Polaroid film and 600 Polaroid film, I don't know if the ISO is different, but the cameras expose the film differently, so I don't know whether that'll work, whether they'll be overexposed or underexposed perhaps, but it's worth a shot, isn't it? It would be a shame just to throw that film away. Now, the other thing I got this morning was a very nice little camera, a Olympus Mu or 2, or in America it's known as the Stylus Epic, and I was looking for this camera specifically today because, as you might know, I do the show notes for the Film Photography Podcast, and so I get to hear the show a few days in advance, so I've got enough time to type the notes up and email them back to Mike. And he mentioned that he'd bought and got hold of, or somebody sent him, can't remember now, an Olympus Mu and Stylus Epic, and the great thing about this little film camera, little 35mm film camera, is it is ultra compact. It's very, very small indeed. It's almost as small as the latest compact digital cameras. One end is a little bit fatter, basically because it's got to take 35mm film roll, and then the other end is nice and slim, fully automatic. You can turn the flash off, and it has a basic spot meter you can use as well. And it has the old Olympus, you know, you sort of pull back the sort of lens cover and it turns itself on. But what's special about this little beast and why lots of people rave about it on the film photography forums and sites is the lens, and it has a 35mm lens, 2.8 aperture glass, obviously, and so being 2.8, that's quite unusual for a compact, which means that it's quite fast, can let in lots of light. Apparently this lens is really nice and sharp as well, and being a prime 35mm no zoom, you've got to walk backwards and forwards to change your framing and your composition. It is meant to be very good indeed. So I thought, you know, I'd look for one, because you see lots of Olympus cameras at car boot sales, but they tend to be, you know, the plastic ones, the zoom ones. And this is a plastic one. But I just happened to see one of the stalls today, and the guy was selling a few Olympus cameras, and he had this little beauty. Had a battery in it, so I could turn it on and test it. The only thing I'm not quite sure about is the fact that normally when you use a camera with autofocus, as this has, is when you press the shutter button halfway, you normally hear like a zzzz as the autofocus motor kind of works, and then a little light comes on to tell you whether it's an managed to autofocus or not. Now this one, the little light will come on, little green light, but it doesn't, I can't hear anything, like there's no motor coming on or off. But then when you take the picture, the lens pops out and it takes the picture, and the lens pops back in again. So I'm not sure whether it works or not, but I've put a 36 roll of Kodak colour film in it, so I'll zap through that over the next couple of weeks and get it developed down at Boots, and we'll see, because it's a very nice little camera. Whether I'll hang on to it or not, I'm not quite sure. But it is. We'll see what the pictures look like when they come out. Now we need to mention our sponsor, GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, as you know, if you've listened to the podcast already, GoToMeeting is a application that enables you to hold meetings with people all over the world, where you can talk to them and they can see what's on your computer screen. So you can reduce costs and travel. We all know that at the moment budgets are tight, and you know everybody's boss wants to cut down on any unnecessary expenditure. Productivity with GoToMeeting, you can get more done with less. You'll be able to increase sales, because it's a different way of getting sales and getting business through the door. You know, if you're phoning somebody up and you're going through your sales pitch, with GoToMeeting you can say, well look, instead of me just trying to explain it to you over the phone, get on your computer, go to GoToMeeting.com, put in this meeting ID, and I can show you what I'm talking about. It's a really simple program that you don't have time to learn new processes and technology. With GoToMeeting, it's really intuitive how we use it. It's very, very secure as well, and it's incredibly affordable. You can hold as many meetings as you want for just $49 a month, and that includes free phone and VoIP conferencing. Now, just a quick talk about security again. GoToMeeting have multiple data centers across the globe, and they have hosted more than 4.5 billion minutes of port connectivity or meetings annually. So you can ensure that with GoToMeeting, their web conferencing tools will be ready when you are, and the transmission quality will be consistently high. They use SSL encrypted websites. They have end-to-end 128-bit AES encryption, automatic inactivity timeout, very strong passwords, and it's a safety-oriented user interface. People aren't going to be listening in on your meetings at all. So all you've got to do is use the free trial. Just go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast, and you get a free 28-day trial to have as many meetings as you want. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Now on with the show. So the Isle of Wight, if you've been keeping an eye on my Flickr stream, you'll have been seeing these photographs from the Isle of Wight kind of pop up every couple of days as I've been doing them. I just wanted to talk about some of the kit I took, the decisions I made in choosing that kit, what worked, what didn't, and maybe what I might do differently, or what kit I might take differently next time as well. And I'll start off with my mobile phone, the good old HTC Desire, which I've talked about a few other times on the podcast as well. The HTC Desire is a smartphone running Android, a bit like the Apple iPhone. And what that means, it's really a computer in your pocket. But the problems I'd had with it up to recently was, although it used to take okay photographs, the plastic cover that covers the lens on the back of the camera had become fogged. It had become a little bit scratched. So all my photos looked like they were taken with a soft focus filter, which really meant they were pretty much unusable, especially when the flash came on, because you'd get all this glare. So while rigorously trying to clean it just before we went on holiday, I managed to push the little plastic cover off and it popped out. So I was just left with a hole in the cover and then the proper glass lens underneath. And as soon as I'd done that, the pictures became incredibly good again. So I suddenly thought, brilliant, I've got a device to take lots of photographs while I'm on holiday. And what I found myself doing was using my HTC Desire for quick grab shots, point and shoot style, and lots of video as well. And then what I was able to do, because of the applications you can download for the phone, such as Vignette, which I use, which you've got to pay for, but it's only a couple of quid, I could then in the evening while we were sitting there watching TV edit the photographs. Nice simple edit, just convert them to black and white, add a vignette, funnily enough, maybe a little bit more contrast, and then I could upload them to Flickr and to share them with everybody. And it worked incredibly well for that, and I have to say it was really refreshing being able to take photographs during the day, edit them in the evening, upload them, and then really forget about them. Because although the 350D obviously takes much better photographs, one of the problems I've got with it now is the fact that sitting on my hard drive I've got over 700 photographs that I've got to go through, edit, and organise and upload to upload to Flickr. And to be honest, thinking about that sort of makes you think, ugh. So that's why if you check out my Flickr stream, you see at the moment the only photographs on there are the ones taken with my HTC Desire phone. The camera does have some limitations in the fact that the pictures are nice, especially if you don't muck around with them, if you just take them with the camera then upload them. It's about 5 megapixels, but if you do muck around with them, you do end up, for example, if you look at my black and white pictures that I've edited with Vignette, there's quite a lot of banding in the skies where there's been a sky that's fairly drab, you know, like a standard grey sky with maybe a little bit of tonal graduation, and the programmers turn that into banding. But you know, so what, it's for what it does, it was very nice indeed. And the other thing I could do, you know, while I was out there, and if you caught my Twitter feed on the day we went on holiday, I was sort of taking pictures and uploading them to Twitter straight away, saying, all right, we're waiting for the ferry now, right, we're on the ferry now, and sending that. So that was quite good. And, you know, to show you the sort of power of the things you can do with the phone is, while we were on holiday, I was actually writing a blog as well about our holiday. And it's, you can actually go and take a look at it. I'll put a link in the show notes, but it's Our Isle of Wight Holiday. Let me just spell it. Be a lot easier, wouldn't it? OurIowholiday. So it's Our IOW Holiday .blogspot. That's BLOGSPOT. .com. It's like a mini blog of the things we did on each day on our holiday. At the moment it's only got text, but what I'll be doing is I'll be adding links, photographs and video to it as well, just as a kind of record of what we did. And I enjoy writing little websites and blogs, and I always think, this is going to sound very mercenary, but if you ever do something that other people could gain from or benefit from the information that you write down, you know, you should always go for it. So, you know, the places that we went to, I've put little thoughts about how good or how bad they were, and who knows, people might find that useful. And of course, add a few Google AdSense ads into the blog, and it might make a few dollars, yeah, which would be nice. And the beauty with Blogspot blogs is that it's free. You don't have to pay for them. So whatever you put up there, if you make some money from it, great. If you get some visitors, great. If you don't, well, who cares? It's not costing you anything. The other thing that the phone's really good for, the HTC Desire, is the maps. Finding locations, because it's all kind of Google and Google Maps and Google Search and locations is all kind of intertwined. So it was great for looking something up and saying, right, okay, where's Osborne House, one of the homes of Queen Victoria? Right, there it is. Let's look at some reviews of it. Let's store its location. Let's get some direction to it, that sort of thing. And, right, we're going to go on Tuesday afternoon, right? Let's put it in the calendar, put a little alarm on it so we remember what time we've got to go. Really brilliant for that. What it wasn't so good for is the navigation. Now, it does come with free sat-nav, but the problem the phone had was on the Isle of Wight, the reception, or the coverage, the 3G coverage for T-Mobile, who's my operator, was pretty poor in lots of places. And the problem you have is if the phone needs to download data to give you the directions to where you want to go, if there's no 3G connection, or if there's no internet connection, it simply can't do it. You know, it just can't do it. So we relied a lot on our Garmin 200, our old sat nav, which has all the map data and all the information data saved on its in its memory inside it, to do it that way. But you know, I used it all week for checking email, surfing the web, and it was great for that. The only problem again was the fact that where we were staying, which was out in the sticks in the Isle of Wight, it was pretty much, there was very little reception, you know, even for phone calls. What I found was at night I could get reception, and if I held the phone at a particular angle, I could just about get a 3G connection to do things like upload the blog and do a little bit of surfing. And in fact, while we were in the Isle of Wight, I did create a little mini Subject Composition and Light podcast, and you can check that out over on Audioboo. I'll put a link in the show notes. It was just a short one, and in fact I did another one this morning, which is a quick mini SEL from the car boot sale at Burlesdon. They won't appear in the main feed that you get on your iPod or your MP3 player or on your computer. The only way you can really get them is if you follow me on Twitter and just look for Scale Speeder or Rob Nunn, N-U-N-N, on Twitter. You'll see them come up, links to Audioboo, you can go over there. I don't think you can download them. I think you have to sort of listen to them there and then. But they're it's something I'm probably going to do a little bit more of. But they're tend to be very, very short, sort of 5 minutes or less. And I'll just where I'm on location, perhaps. And I just want to record a few words and share them with everybody. Mainly because I'll tend to forget about what I'm doing then when it comes down to the main podcast. The HTC Desire Android phone, you know, a brilliant phone to take on holiday. It could do almost everything a little laptop could do. The main problem with it, though, was the reception problems, which I've talked about, and also the battery life. You know, you have to make sure you've got a car charger with you, so that if you're using it a lot for getting directions, taking photographs, taking videos, turning the GPS on, all that sort of stuff, the battery will not last all day. So if you're out on holiday, you've got to make sure you've got a car charger with you. It takes great photos. There's a complete photographic workflow within the device, from taking photographs to uploading them to sharing them on Flickr. Really, really pleased with it as well. And I think I'm quite pleased with some of the photographs it took as well. Okay, so the main kit I took on holiday was obviously the 350D, the digital SLR, or the Rebel XT as it's known in the States. I spent a couple of hours before we went sort of trying to decide what I wanted to take. I knew I wasn't going to take the big low pro bag, and I knew I wasn't going to take the really small low pro bag. So, a bit like Goldilocks, I went for the one that was just right, which was the low pro photo runner bag, which is the bag that can take a body and about three lenses and spare things. And it has a nice shoulder strap and a nice bum bag type strap to sort of put around your middle. And what I ended up going for and taking was the 350D with the 28-80 that I think I talked about in the last SEL, which was a lens I picked up on a couple of old film cameras that I got at a car charity shop in Leon Solent's. So the 28-80, the 75-300, so they're my two main work lenses, and for a little bit of artistic stuff, I also decided to take the Lens Baby Composer with the double glass optic and the wide angle converter. And I never use the wide angle converter, and I only use the Lens Baby for probably 30 or 40 shots, and that was mainly people. And I decided, because I was debating, should I go with the primes? Because I was thinking, well, I could take the 28mm prime and the 50mm prime and the 75-300 zoom, because there isn't that much difference. You know, with the 28 and the 50, I've only got to move backwards and forwards a little bit, haven't I, really, to reframe my picture. And what I would be gaining there was really sharpness, quality of image, and the extra light. I mean, this 28 to 80s, an f3.5 at 28 mil, which means that at 50 mil it's probably, you know, f4.5. So if you think with the, if I'd taken the 50 mil, I could have been running at f1.8. So I could, you know, the beauty with the f1.8 maximum aperture on the 50 mil lens is that it's a big hole. It lets in a lot of light, so you can work in really low light conditions and keep your ISO down for good image quality. And it also gives you that really beautiful, really small depth of field effect, which when you're running at f4.5, sort of 5.6, you just don't get. But you know, this is a family holiday we're going on. It wasn't a photographic adventure. I needed to be able to whip the camera out, take photographs very, very quickly, and it would have been unfair, and it wouldn't have been right, and it would have been very frustrating for Suzanne and Oliver if all the time I was saying, oh, you know, just wait a minute, I just need to put the 28 on. Oh, no, wait a minute, I just need to put the 50 on. You know, that sort of thing. By using the zoom, the 28 to 80, I sacrificed that image quality just for speed of use. And looking, I mean, I haven't done any real photo editing with the photographs yet, but they look all right. There seems to be the usual number of hits and misses that I normally get. Lots of the colours look fine, and it tends to be what it used to be, in the fact that the best photographs are the ones that were taken in the best light. You know, and unfortunately, while we're on holiday, there was a lot of rain and a lot of overcastness, so most of them are grey. But you know, then you just do the old trick: you convert to black and white, add a vignette, add a bit of grain. You know, and the photographs look a little bit more interesting if the subject was a little bit interesting to start off with. So there we go. So I chose to go with the 28 to 80, the 75 to 300, and the Lens Baby Composer. But I could have probably left the Composer at home, just to make my bag a little bit lighter. Or I could have slipped the I could have slipped the 51.8 in, because that's very, very light, and used that in low light conditions. But you know, it would have been unfair, as I said before, on Suzanne Oliver, for me to be constantly changing lenses. And a lot of the time, what I was doing was giving the camera to Suzanne and Oliver, turn it on to auto, and letting them click away, so I could have like fun with Oliver or Suzanne, or Suzanne, you know, as we were going around the various theme parks and doing things. And for them, you know, the thought of changing lenses just wouldn't have been a good idea. Where they've got the 28 to 80, they can just turn the ring and it'll do the zoom. If you're using auto, it'll just change the ISO and change the aperture and the shutter speed, so they get nice sharp shots, pop the flash up when they want to, and they've taken some very nice photos indeed. Now, other bits, which is in the pocket, what else did I take? Well, I took my blower, I took some lens cleaning tissues and a lens cleaning cloth, three spare batteries, and a spare compact flash card, spare body cap, spare lens cap. For some reason I took my polarizing filter, but I forgot that it's the wrong size for the 28-80, so I shouldn't have really taken that. Some business cards. What else is in here? I think that's about it, actually. Yeah, that was about it. So nice and lightweight. I charged up my batteries once when it got to about Thursday. Because I got down to my last battery, so I charged them all up, so that was okay. I didn't run out of memory with my CF cards, but there was a reason for that. Now, my 350D is hardly any megapixels. I think it's 7 megapixels or something silly, so you know, they're not ultra high resolution photographs, so they're not big files anyway. But I made the decision before we went to shoot JPEG rather than RAW. And the reason for that is because I use an old computer, and RAW processing takes a lot longer than JPEG. And I thought, well, if I'm going to be taking 700, 800 photographs, you know, 100 photographs a day, say, that would have been 700 photographs. I didn't want to spend all my time processing them when we came back. And with the Canon on its JPEG setting, on the finest setting, the JPEGs look fine to me, and I haven't really got a problem with that. So I managed to fit an awful lot of photographs on each 2 gigabyte card. That's it really, that's what I went with. I was very happy, it all seemed to work very, very well. I chose not to take a tripod, again, because I felt it would have been unfair. I guess because of the weather, there were no great sunsets or sunrises in the week we were away. And I guess if there had been, I might have been a bit gutted that I didn't have a tripod with me. But as it was, there wasn't, so I didn't miss anything that way. But I think next time I may well take a small tripod. But apart from that, I think this style of bag, which is a small bag that can just take a small bit of kit that you can put on your shoulder, that's nice and lightweight, it fits in the car nice and easy, it's not obtrusive, you can get the kit out very, very quickly, was a good choice. It worked well, and it stood up to sort of the rain we were in, being bashed around a lot, and the zips were fantastic, and it was nice and secure and comfortable on my shoulder. And it did exactly the job it was meant to do. So, Canon 350D with the 75-300 sort of big zoom and the 28-80 little zoom did me proud. So, look out for shots appearing on my Flickr stream. I think I might have some quite nice ones of some birds and animals from Flamingo Park Zoo on the Isle of Wight. Now, as you know, I've been saying that quite a lot, haven't I, this week. As you know, I do the notes, or maybe you didn't know, I do the show notes for the Film Photography Podcast, so check them out over on filmphotographypodcast.com, or just search the Google for Film Photography Podcast. It's a great podcast. And as you know, I shoot film and digital, so if you fancy filming, having a go with some film, it's really cheap to buy the cameras, not so cheap to do the processing and do stuff like that, but it's I always think that the beauty with shooting film is that it improves the way you shoot digital because of the cost involved, and because, you know, with each roll of 24 film or 36 film or a 10 pack of instant photos, you know, you've really got to think about how the photograph's going to be a lot more rather than just clicking away and clicking away. And it means that when you pick up your digital camera, which is faster, takes better photographs, they have less noise, they're easier to share, all this sort of stuff, you do things a little bit better. And I think with every camera system you try out, you learn something from that particular camera system. So from this Olympus Mu, this tiny little thing, I'll probably learn a little bit more about light and composition because it's a 35mm fixed lens again, so I'm going to be running around and having to move around with my feet. With the Polaroid and the instant cameras, it's more just thinking about, okay, I've got to really get in close because you need to make your pictures dramatic. And over on the Flickr forum for robnonphoto.com at the moment, there's a little thread started up by Esker Joe, and this is Flickr name, where he's just saying, pop your film shots here. So if anybody's got any film shots on Flickr, go over to the robnonphoto.com discussion group, there'll be links in the show notes, and stick your photos on the thread. Or if you haven't joined Flickr yet, please do so. It's free to join. Then you can upload 200 photographs for free, and then if you want to do any more, you've got to pay $24 for a year's membership, I think, which is nothing. You can upload thousands and thousands then. Join the robnonphoto.com Flickr group, put your photos in the pool, join the discussions or start new discussions, and there's some fantastic photography going on in there, so thanks everybody who's been taking part in that. Thanks to Everyday Jones for their music. They do the intro and outro music. You can find their music for free download at podsafeaudio.com. And thanks everybody for commenting on the robnonphoto.com blog. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. Well, my name's Rob from robnonphoto.com, robnnn.com. Remember, you can email me, scalespeeder@gmail.com. That's scalespeeder @gmail.com with any questions, comments or ideas for the podcast. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll be seeing you on Flickr.